Chantel, one question. Do you want to eat stress-free this spring?
Grania, you read my mind. I got a lot of stress going on. I'm waiting for Megan Fox to finally officially announce she's single. What do you got?
I'm very glad you said that because with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals, every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and is ready to eat in 2 minutes.
Thing is, I like a lot of variety in my life. You know, variety is the spice of life. So I will take nothing less than 35 options per week, which I've heard these guys have. And tell me if I'm wrong, but that includes calorie smart, keto, protein plus, vegan, veggie.
That's just the start of it because all those options are available at Factor. Plus, you can discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
I'm saying it, guys. If you're listening to this, then Factor is your solution for some fast, premium meals with none of the cooking, none of the cleanup, none of the mess.
So, Chantel, second question, what are you waiting for?
I have no idea. Tell me.
Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals and head to factormeals.com and use the code TWTW50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code TWTW50 at factormeals.com/TWTW50 to get 50% off your first box and then another 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Get going, guys.
Hello, I'm Grania Maguire, and this is Chantel Fiduchin-Pate.
Hello.
We bonded over our love of reminiscing about weird celebrity couples. The ones no one would believe happened if Google wasn't there to back it up.
We want you to join us as we remember when love was young, times were simpler, and we really thought that Angelina and Billy Bob Thornton were going to make it.
Every week, we're joined by a celebrity guest to discuss the showbiz romance they never got over. So take our hand and stroll down memory lane with us as we remember
the way they were.
Hi, Chantel.
Hi, Grania. How are you?
I'm fabulous because it's May, which is my favorite time of the year.
Same.
Ugh, spring in my steps, sparkle in my eye.
The spring is finally springing in this country as well. It's happening, guys.
I was at the BAFTAs last Sunday.
We know. I can, she's still wearing the ball gown, everybody. Just so you know, she won't take it off. She refuses. She's carrying the BAFTA around. It's made out of cardboard, horrors, but still. I like it. How was it? Tell us all the goss.
It was just so I was working on it. So there's like a dinner part. So obviously I wasn't invited to the dinner part, but then there's like an after party where all the little rats and mice that work on the show are like crawl and creep in. So I did that and it was just so fabulous. I was working with two other writers and I kept annoying them because it was on the South Bank, which is right next to the Thames. And I said, come on, we have to toast London.
Oh my God.
So I said, look at us. We've made it, London.
We've made it.
So that was my highlight. And then I got my picture taken with Wilf from Traitors, which was also...
I didn't watch Traitors, so I didn't know who it was. But now that I do know who it was, even I, as a non-Traitors watcher, am aware of what a massive, massive, massive celeb spotting and picture that is. So
yeah.
Maybe we could put that on the Instagram for our listeners
who
are interested.
Honestly, there was like the Derry Girls was there, Sharon Horgan was there, all those people. Wilf was the one person who I cracked and was like, can I please have your picture?
And I presume you then slipped him your number so you get him as a guest on the podcast, right?
No, because we can't trust him.
Oh, I don't know. Is he one of the ones you can't trust? Okay. Speaking of, by the way, I just want to give a little shout out for anyone out there who is watching Vanderpump Rules and is aware of the scandal happening. I just want to say I'm here if you need someone to talk to. It's a big deal. We will never cover them on the podcast because there's nothing more to say, really. But I just want to give a shout out to all the VPR Bravo World people out there who are aware of this is actually the biggest breakup to happen in ever. And it's huge. And feel free to get in touch. I have no friends here that watch it with me, so I'm on my own. I'm just watching it with the rest of the internet. So if you want to talk to someone about it, I am here to talk about the biggest celeb breakup in maybe celebrity history. Grania, you have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
I don't. But the thing is, we are a very broad church. We are a very broad church here. We have Vanderpump Rules. And then we also have the literati, the people
exactly.
who read books.
Like Emily Ratajkowski, we're high and low culture.
High and
just
low.
Like her podcast. Yeah, the same.
And the reason why I mentioned that we're high and we're low is because mm-hmm. the incredible guest on this episode is an author. She has a book coming out called Sex Bomb, which if you haven't read it yet, listen to this podcast and then run to your bookshop and buy right. one. She is funny, she's fantastic, and the incredible author Sadia Asmus.
The way they were.
Hi, Sadia.
Hi,
Sadia. Hi, Sadia. Hi, Sadia. Thanks so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. I love your podcast.
Oh,
we'd love to find a fan. You're the one.
We just love to find a friend.
I bet you say that to all the girls.
We're a very romantic podcast. Do you consider yourself an old romantic?
Yes, absolutely. Obviously, life Yay. Tries to beat the out of it, out of you. But definitely, like I think if you are going to do the love thing, you have to do it properly.
That's so nice, because usually we've got all cynics and they're always go, oh no, nobody will ever make my heart vulnerable. You can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread man. So it's nice for somebody to be, you know what, we've only got one go of this thing called life. Why not fill it with romance?
Exactly. No, we love that.
What's the most like romantic thing that you've ever done, or what to you is romance?
This is so sad. But I would totally do it again. It was my ex boyfriend's birthday, and I got some rose petals, and I like you know how that you decorate the bed.
Did you do it on the bed?
Yeah.
Oh, we. Oh my god!
I can't remember. Yeah, I mean, it obviously was a while ago, but that was romantic. I thought it's a shame he never did anything for mine.
Oh.
And what was his reaction when he walked in?
He smiled. He. You know how guys? Some guys. This was a guy who was like, "Don't do anything." He was a bit like, you know. But he actually did smile. So that was a result. Actually, to be honest with you,
You sound so grateful for a smile. That makes me really sad.
It's the little things, Grania. Sometimes all you need is some men or just a smile is everything.
It was better than a groan of like, normally I would get, why did you bother? So it was just nice not to like go through that.
Go through that. This sounds like a great relationship.
It is over, so yeah.
Good, I'm glad to hear that.
A lesson in love. A lesson in how not to... Do you love,
yeah.
I think.
A season, a reason, or a lifetime. Isn't that what they say?
Who said that? Because it annoys me. But
I don't really buy it either.
Because of the rhyme.
Thank you, Sas. I think the same thing. People like it's like vaguely rhymed, only two words of it rhyme. But the season and reason bit, I'm like, what does that mean?
Define season of a life. It's very surface level. Oh, well.
Yeah, it's a thing that women tell themselves after they have a bad relationship. It was worth it. I said, no, it wasn't. Your life would have been better without it. Accept that and move on.
I feel your energy. I feel this.
Sometimes you learn nothing and that's okay.
I feel like it's one of those quotes that I think Marilyn Monroe said, but I know she didn't.
Yeah.
What's your take on this one? It's better to have... No, it's if you love them, you'll let them go. And if they're yours, they'll come back to you. Now, that guy was a poet, right? But also died of liver cirrhosis.
So someone let him go. He'd drink himself to death. That doesn't work. I've never seen people engaged to be married going, should we break up and just see if we come back to each other? It's just the dumbest
idea
in the world.
Well, J-Lo and Mark Anthony, they did a whole boomerang over and over again. I think that's weird. I think also
look where that ended
Ben Affleck, she's a bit of a boomerang herself, huh?
Mm.
Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
That, do you not think that's just like how her body is shaped? She's kind of shaped like a boomerang, so that's why.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, we're speaking of divas, and I don't think it's too much of a clue to say the couple that you have picked
one of them falls definitely into that category. But first, Chantelle has to guess who it is we're hinting at. So, Chantelle, I can tell you that our fabulous couple got together. Well, I'm saying got together. They definitely met for the first time in the sexy year of 1988. Okay. Are you ready? Let's get into the vibe. Let's get into that sweet, sweet late 80s vibe. Picture the scene. Stephen Hawking has just dropped A Brief History of Time. Big is big at the box office. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, pubs in the United Kingdom can stay open all day.
It's all happened in 88.
But that wasn't all the sexy things that was happening in that year. Because this sweet, sweet fantasy baby hit the high notes.
It's Mariah Carey. And is it with the Sony guy? Or is it? It must be 88. So yeah, it's Mariah Carey. And it's, oh, fuck, what's his name? Shit. The guy who's the head of Sony and ruined her fucking life and career. And she was so much better without him. But she did make Music Box, which was kind of her best album, guys. Sorry. Can you give me an initial? Please don't give me his whole name. Give me an initial, because I know this fucking name.
It's T for Tango.
Is his last name begin with O?
Close. It's the second letter of the second name.
Oh, tell me. I'm so annoyed. I know this person.
So do you want to put it right for Misery?
It's Tommy Mottola.
Tommy Mottola! Tommy Mottola. Can you edit out the bit when I didn't guess his name? It just makes it sound silly. Mariah Carey and Tommy Mottola. I knew this. Great couple choice. These ones are a doozy.
Iconic. Sadia, what was it about this couple that you needed to talk to somebody about?
Exactly that. I needed to talk to somebody about it. Look, I feel like we've all gone through that divorce with Tommy Mottola. Like, we've all, you know what I mean? Like, her pain is huge, and you can't ignore it. It's unignorable. It's undeniable pain. And I think, to be honest with you, even though we all know about it and have lived it, there's probably still a lot of, you know, scars that we don't know about it. And I think, even though she's like really special and stuff, I think it's an experience that a lot of people go through, and it's not just unique or specific to Mariah, but we can take note.
Yeah. Are you old enough to remember them as a couple before they split up?
I'm old enough to remember the breakup or the looking back, not really them as a, no, probably you not either, right?
I just have this vague memory, and I remember, well, obviously we'll go into what happened, but my vague memory of when they were still a couple was it was very much, she was this super cool fly girl and he was like her hot older husband. But obviously, yeah.
I don't know many folks that would describe Tommy Mottola as hot, so that's a new one.
He clearly had a really rich
older husband, that I'll go with. But I do remember photos of them together, and everyone was like, oh, it was very much that was the reaction when you saw, that's who she's, okay. It was a bit that. He looks like a kind of lame businessman, and she looks like a cool, hot pop star in a tight dress. And there weren't that many pics of them. Like, he wasn't like on the red carpet with her all the time, because he was just some loser businessman.
I think I remember really, really well an episode of The Fresh Prince where Will is chatting up this girl, and he says, "Let me be the Tommy to your Mariah."
That sounds about right.
I don't remember that episode.
I'm gonna go watch it now. I love Fresh Prince. Where did I have it? I would have remembered that line. Something's been erased from my childhood, really.
Maybe. It's all on Netflix. Go for it after this. Go for it.
Okay, well, before we get going, because there's a lot to get through, I know already listeners are getting really frustrated and they're saying, we don't care about the Fresh Prince. When is anybody gonna bring up their star signs? Here we go. So Mariah, born March 27th. Of course, Mariah, she doesn't have a birthday. She's an anniversary.
That's right. That's right. I was just going to say
her
anniversary.
Does this make
her Pisces? Aries.
Ooh, okay.
What was your reaction? Do you have sort of like experience with Aries or strong feelings?
They're nice people. No, they're nice people. But I was hoping she was a Pisces just because I'm a Pisces and I wanted to believe that she was like me. But that's fine. We're close.
I'm sorry you had to find out like this. So she's an Aries. Tommy Mottola, July 14th, is a Cancer king. He is Cancer. Okay. So percentage-wise, what does the universe give this chance of working out?
60%.
60%. Strong.
I don't think they are compatible, so I'm going to say 50. I think I'm actually learning about fucking astrology from this podcast. So I'm going to say 20%. I'm going to keep it round, though. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so according to their astrological charts, as much as Aries, Mariah, wants to devote their physical body, sports, and all the ways to keep their creative energy high, Cancer, Tommy, wants to sleep, dance, and eat all they want. Mostly, they share sexual activities and the time for rest, since Cancer, Tommy, probably has no intention of following that insane Aries, Mariah pace. 30%.
Oh, golly.
Split down the middle. You won, Chantal.
Well, yeah, I did win.
But wait a minute, because if he was controlling in the whole relationship, which he was, then he's controlling the pace. So what is he talking about? Him trying to match her pace. He's controlling the whole thing.
Classic Cancer.
That's it.
have you had an ex that's a Cancer, Chantal? You're giving very experienced, been there, done that
vibes. None of this is really part of my life, so I have absolutely no idea where any of my exes are starting. It's not really a arena I spend a lot of time dealing with, aside from in this podcast. I only care about star signs, what is Grania is telling me about them. So okay. She's the only person who can tell me about star signs.
My sister is a Cancer, so I'm wondering, if she started going out with Mariah Carey, would she become very controlling?
Very controlling.
Does she just like to eat, sleep and dance, your sister?
Yeah, she does, actually.
That's a really weird combo, eat, sleep and dance.
But I think dance is a euphemism for sex.
Yeah.
It usually is with these star sign things. It always comes back to sex.
They're horny. What can I say? These star signs.
Poor Mariah. Anyways. So they're shagging all the time, apparently.
And he's falling asleep and eating a sandwich.
That does check out, actually, from what I've seen of him.
Okay, so let's have a sort of brief look at their relationship CV before they meet each other in 1988. So Mariah's background, she's really young when they meet. She's 18. So all we really need to know about Mariah before she meets Tommy is she's had a very chaotic background. Her parents split when she's really young. Her mother's family abandoned her mother because they were white Irish Americans, brackets racist. So they weren't very happy with their daughter getting together with a black guy. Then she just had a very chaotic upbringing. Her mother was a bit of a disaster. She had an older brother, an older sister, a lot of moving about. She had a rough old start. Tommy, he started off, he was a singer. Then he moved into management. He married his first wife, who was the daughter of ABC Records in 1971. They have two children. Okay, so entering the scene, he's married with two children. Poor little Mariah has just moved to Manhattan. She is out to make it in the Big Apple. Okay. And she is sassy, but she's broke. She is broke as a joke. So they meet for the first time at a big industry party. So picture the scene. Mariah's there. She's wearing an outfit she borrowed from her best friend.
Mm-hmm.
She's a session singer. She's got no money. She's wearing like old shoes, somebody else's outfit. Her friend is
old
like...
Old shoes. Okay. So specific. Old raggedy shoes. All right.
In her memoir, she keeps talking about how she only had one pair of shoes. So
is she really into her old... Okay, she's got her old shoes. All right. In my mind, she's doing that thing like Julia Roberts did at the start of Pretty Woman, where she's using paint, like nail polish, to paint over the snacks in her shoes. That's what she's wearing, that outfit in my mind, which would look good on Mariah, so I'm with it.
So she's got a demo tape. She's got this demo tape. It is like she's put so much work into this. All her any money she had is going towards studio time. This demo tape is her golden ticket. Oh, she carries the demo tape with her everywhere she goes. So her friends... Everywhere she goes, she's got this demo tape.
So one demo tape, one pair of shoes, all you need to make it.
And a voice of her. And a voice. Her voice.
And the voice. Everybody there is super glamorous, super rich. She's wearing a pair of sneakers. She's got a little high top ponytail. She doesn't know anybody. She's like, oh my God, how will I ever fit in? How will I ever make it? So she's with her best friend. They're walking up the stairs when Mariah locks eyes with this mysterious stranger she's never met before. And this is how she describes it. She says, they lock eyes and she didn't recognise him, but she said she recognised his energy.
Okay.
Well, the cancer energy.
She didn't recognise his wallet. Yeah, yeah. But all right.
So then they have this moment. It's like, oh my God. So she carries on walking up the stairs. And then her friend turns to her and says,
big staircase.
Her friend says, do you realize who that was? And she says, no, who? And her friend says, that was Tommy Mottola, head of Sony Records.
No, this did not happen. Who was this friend who knows who
this
fucking Tommy Mottola,
well.
A random businessman? Yeah, her friend doesn't know that. First of all, how big is the staircase? Secondly, who was this friend who's like some 18-year-old as well knows who Tommy Mottola is? I'm into the fantasy, but this is a classic Mariah fantasy. Anyways, here we go.
So then they walk back down the stairs.
Oh, this fucking staircase. Oh my God.
And her friend says, Mariah, you have to give him your demo track.
Sure.
So she gives him her demo track.
And he's still on the staircase.
I can't believe they broke up.
I know. That's such an amazing romantic start. Go on. She's in her old shoes, handing over the one tape she has.
Yeah. She walks over, flip flap, that's the sound of her old sneakers.
They're all falling apart.
She hands him her demo track. He doesn't say anything else, just looks at the demo tape and walks out of the party. He walks back up the stairs.
Back up those goddamn stairs.
Can we pause for a second? Now, look, you're Tommy Mottola. Everybody wants to give you their demo tape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your POV? You're obviously digging her, right? Because why would you listen to it? You wouldn't really. You can make anything into something if you're Tommy Mottola, right?
Yeah. But they had that moment on the stairs, remember? Where they recognised.
Stairs is a lot to answer for. So I'm all about stairs.
He vanishes. So she's like, and she's more mad because she's like, I only had a certain amount of demo tapes. Oh no, he's never going to listen to it. How annoying. So she goes home. What she didn't realise is the reason why Tommy left so quickly is so that he could get straight into his limousine and
play the tape.
Listen to the tape. So then he's like, oh my God, who is this voice? This can't be the girl that I met on the stairs.
I'm going to totally milk for every ounce of creativity that she has.
Yeah.
So he runs back into the party, but by then she's gone.
Of course.
So that's what he does. He spent weeks trying to track her down. Then he rings her up into her apartment. She thinks it's a joke. She's like, oh my God, it is Tommy Mottola. And he signs her on a music contract and says, I'm going to make you a star.
Classic. I'll make you a star, baby. All right.
I'm going to make you a star.
People don't talk like that anymore, which is a shame.
Not that we know of, no. They just send it. They slide to the DMs and go, hey, come to my studio, and that's it.
But I mean, Sally, if you met somebody, even now, if somebody was like, at a party, I don't care what he looked like. If he was like, you're incredible, you're so amazingly talented, you've got a baby. It's quite attractive.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll do the dance. I'll do whatever. If someone's listening right now, you can make all of us stars right now. We're here. We're
you have the power and we're all very poor. So
and we love walking upstairs.
Yeah.
I love stairs.
Because the elevators in our buildings are broke. We're that kind of poor. Please help.
So it starts off as a professional relationship, but it very quickly starts getting murky. Because first of all, you have to remember, poor little Mariah, she has got a very dysfunctional family. So now he's this older guy and he's very much like, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to look after you. You know, he sort of protected her from the music industry and also from her crazy family. She had a really...
Are
you going to just slide over the fact that you're implying that he was a father figure to her?
And also, what's happened to his wife? Have they split up?
Well,
we don't know about that.
Okay, so this is what starts. So first of all, he says, true, you're going to be as big as Michael Jackson. But I'm going to put all my... So he had just started a new sort of like I'd say record company, but it was like Sony. So I don't know. Anyway, he was like, I'm going to put all my clout behind you. So mm-hmm. it starts off just about professional, but then he starts making romantic gestures. So he starts buying her like teddies.
How's that romantic?
Oh,
I was hoping for some Tiffany or something. Come
yeah,
on,
right?
Man.
Get her some shoes, for fuck's sake. She only has one pair. What? How old is he at this point? I'm always about the ages.
Okay, so again, I'm not great at maths, but he was born in 48. Oh, yeah, he's
40.
Oh, he's 40. There, that 40. Was easy enough.
You so are great, Paige.
22 years old.
Yeah.
Question. But basically, he was obviously looking for more than just... He was looking for fringe benefits.
Well, so it's slightly nuanced situation here because Mariah says that the relationship was never really sexual.
Yeah, so I've heard it was never
like he was like sexually exploiting her. It was more that she was really hot. She was really new. She was like the next thing in music. And he was from like an older generation. So through her, he was able to become relevant. And through her, you know, taste and her talent, she was able to sort of connect him to the way music was going.
Yeah.
And without her, he wouldn't be able to. So it was very much like public persona rather than anything sordid.
So even like it was almost like even like their relationship romantically was kind of a business arrangement.
Okay, so 2 years later, in 1990, he gets divorced from his wife of 19 years.
Okay,
and
19 years. Oh
19
my god,
19 years.
So he's now 42, and she's 20.
20.
You're doing the math right.
Imagine his wife
That's
has 19
up,
years.
Oh my God.
They have children together. Yeah. And her husband leaves him for a 20-year-old.
Oh my God. This is horrible.
And so Tommy says that the relationship was flirtatious from the moment he set eyes on her. He said this was controversial, not just because of their age difference, but also because the music executive was married at the time. So.
It wasn't flirtatious. If you know, whenever the older guy thinks it's flirtatious, like, no, that just means a hot 21-year-old or 20-year-old was talking to you and you thought that was flirtatious. She was just trying to get a record deal, mate. She wasn't flirting with you. She's wanting to get a record done.
So he's got this house up in upstate New York, and Mariah says in her memoir that, like, so she's... He puts all his support behind her, and she's, like, incredible. She's got this voice. So she becomes... famous really quickly. But she said she was in this really weird situation because she was like this in this weird bubble with Tommy. She never really had a chance to enjoy it because every Thursday evening they used to drive upstate to his house.
No, also, I think he made her feel like he was the reason for her success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they start building a house upstate, and she's like, oh, she didn't want people to think that she was like this arm candy, and she insisted, she's like, everything's going to be 50-50, I'm going to pay 50% for this house. And this is a decision she very much regrets. But in 1993, they have their big wedding. Chantel, one question. Do you want to eat stress-free this spring?
Grania, you read my mind. I got a lot of stress going on. I'm waiting for Megan Fox to finally officially announce she's single. What do you got?
I'm very glad you said that because with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals, every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and is ready to eat in 2 minutes.
Thing is, I like a lot of variety in my life, you know, variety is the spice of life. So I will take nothing less than 35 options per week, which I've heard these guys have. And tell me if I'm wrong, but that includes calorie smart, keto, protein plus, vegan, veggie.
That's just the start of it because all those options are available at Factor. Plus, you can discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
I'm saying it, guys. If you're listening to this, then Factor is your solution for some fast, premium meals with none of the cooking, none of the cleanup, none of the mess.
So, Chantal, second question, what are you waiting for?
I have no idea. Tell me.
Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals and head to factormeals.com and use the code TWTW50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code TWTW50 at factormeals.com/TWTW50 to get 50% off your first box and then another 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Get going, guys.
So she says, many people questioned why I married Tommy, but none of them questioned the decision more than I did. The day before her wedding, she spoke to her friends saying that she saw that there was no way out. She said she never really wanted to get married. She had no plans to get married at such a young age. And she said, you might want to picture a child bride.
Yeah. Easy enough to picture.
But she how do you say no to a big exec as well at that such young age?
Yeah.
Right? It's like, I really, really emphasise when she says that she just didn't know how to get out of it, really.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
She said she thought, her reasoning behind it was, she was like, I cannot escape this man because their whole sort of like personal professional life was so intertwined and he was so controlling, and she genuinely thought if I just marry him he might relax a little.
Sure. Yeah.
Which is a great why not?
Great, that's a great reason on your wedding day to get involved, yeah.
So this was an article, a little description I found of their big wedding in 1993. So it was like a performance. She said there was like nothing intimate or it was like an award ceremony. There was nothing personal about it. So Sony music chief Tommy Mottola, 43, is a prince of a guy. And his 24-year-old pop princess gave their New York City wedding royal attention. So apparently she watched videos of Charles and Diana's wedding as inspiration.
Oh my God.
Which is, you know, great.
That says a lot as well. She saw a kindred spirit.
And I feel sad for these people now. I feel sad.
And she, this is in the newspaper report, they said that Mariah Carey wore a family heirloom tiara.
So, you know, the sad thing is that she's trying to, you know, when you're younger and you want to be more mature, so she's trying to act older than she is and he's trying to act younger than he is.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's trying to act older in the way that, like, a teenager thinks, like, is old, like wearing a tiara.
Who's trying to pay bills? You rich, man. You pay all the bills. Yeah. I'll sing.
Why is she wearing it? That's wrong. It's not a family heirloom.
But this is what's so funny. It's like, how did Mariah Carey from Long Island have a tiara in the family vault?
Or even her, if it was from his family as well. There's no royal family in America.
She wore a Vera Wang gown, and Barbra Streisand was at the wedding, as was Ozzy Osbourne, and Robert De Niro was the best man.
Interesting. So Tommy had a wide circle of friends.
I would have picked Al Pacino, but anyway, De Niro's cool. De Niro's cool. Whatever.
And she said part of her reasoning was how she sort of like normalized it in her head, which she genuinely didn't think she deserved to be happy in her professional life and her personal life. So she was like, well, if this is like the price I have to pay
to be successful.
To be successful.
Maybe he just didn't let her meet other guys as well. He was really like controlling and possessive. So she probably just didn't know that there was what other options was out there.
Yeah.
She weren't allowed to speak to anybody. She was stuck in a studio or then driving upstate to that house on the hill.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the haunted house.
I think their Hamptons isn't their Hamptons estate where the Dream Lover video was filmed, and if so, or was it where the I Will Always Love You one is? Not I Will Always Love You. The All I Want for Christmas. One of those videos was filmed at their house in the Hamptons.
So it wasn't in Hampton. Well, they probably did have a Hamptons house, but their main big house was in upstate New York, next to Sing Sing prison. So he used to call her house the Sing Sing prison.
That makes sense.
Oh
yeah.
Oh my God, that's so traumatic. I'm so vexed right now. That's not good.
Okay. By the way, things are about to get worse.
Let's go.
So they've had this huge.
Is he impotent?
Well, I don't.
She wishes. That'd be great.
That'd be better, right?
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Results. she'd still be with him now if that's the case.
Good. So they've had this big New York, like, extravagant wedding. So they go on holidays to Hawaii. She mm-hmm. says on the second day, Tommy gets a phone call from his publicist saying, this wedding is so ridiculous. You're a music executive. You shouldn't be on the front page of People. You need to get rid of it. We need to get rid of all these pictures because it's really bad for your image as like a serious music executive. And then Mariah overhears and she's like, oh my God, you guys are nuts. What was the point of doing it if not for publicity?
Yeah.
So then Tommy's publicist is like, oh, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. And it's really horrible to Mariah. And she's just like, what is the point? What am I doing here? So she gets really upset. She goes running down the beach, but she's got no money. She's on her own. She's got nothing. Then she goes to a hotel on the beach. Not a dollar to this girl's name. She just sat there miserable. Nobody recognizes her. She ends up having to ring up, I think it was like her manager or some employee, to get credit card details so she could buy herself a drink.
I'm so glad she was smart enough to do that.
Yeah, and got herself a drink. Well done.
I bet she needed some trainers and stuff as well. Still, yeah. By the sounds of it. Also, I heard that he obviously, like you already know, you know, her image, like he tried to keep her pictures to be white and, you know, not to show her skin colour. So that's why a lot of her early kind of, cover images and stuff like that are black and white, or you can't tell that she's mixed race.
He was huge into her image. So when
you said things are going to get worse, I think that's probably enough. But maybe the publicist also encouraged him. That's really, like, I don't know, it is very murky. And I think it's very symbolic of the entertainment industry in general.
Mm-hmm. So she spoke about Tommy trying to control her image. Apparently he was obsessed. He hated it when she straightened her hair because he thought it made her look too urban. Inverted commas.
What?
Yeah.
There's so many women with straight hair.
I never understood that, because that kind of goes against sort of normal racist logic.
So I think it was...
Normal races are against like curly hair. So you think, I don't really get where that's going from. I don't understand what he's doing there.
Either way, it's her hair. Whatever she wants to do with it.
That's a given. He's already controlling it. I'm beyond that. He's already controlling her image. But it's, the logic behind it doesn't add up. I don't get it.
So she says around that time, people were saying, but just they didn't know what box to put her on. They would use euphemisms like, oh, too urban. We want you to cross over. So she wasn't allowed to straighten her hair. She had to have her... Tommy apparently thought that when she had big curly hair, she kind of looked Italian. So he liked it when she had her big curly hair, her fringe.
At this point, she'd had to really struggle to get credit card details to buy herself a drink. So it shows the level of kind of control she's unfortunately gripped under. Mm-hmm. She's probably working really hard, like singing and trying to herself be a credible artist, which is probably a little bit harder when the whole world is being shown this image that you've kind of basically slept your way to the top.
Yeah. Because she's an incredible singer, obviously, but she also wrote all her songs. She produced all her songs. She did backing vocals for all her songs. And she also, especially around that time, just was so clued in with the different rappers and the different producers who are doing like the best stuff. So she's so smart and with creating a sound that was so unique.
And that takes guts as well, because when you're doing something that hasn't been done before, like, are people just going to go along with it?
Mm-hmm. And
I'm getting a bad feeling about this Tommy Mottola guy.
So they go on this holiday or this honeymoon. It's bloody doomed. She says the relationship with Tommy was never physical, but he just would get increasingly controlling. So this is an example of he really didn't want her to get into acting, and she really wanted to pursue that. And she thinks it's because in music he was so powerful that he would be able to have control over everything. But if she got into acting,
who
cares? So there was a newspaper article saying, oh my God, they should remake All About Eve and have Diana Ross play the Bette Davis character, and then have Mariah Carey play like the upstart trying to take her life. Wouldn't that be incredible? And just that magazine article, she said Tommy threw a massive strop and like wouldn't talk to her. And she was like, I had nothing got to do with it, but he...
Yeah.
Another time they were out with their friend, well, they're out with Tommy's friends, and the Puff Daddy came up in conversation, and one of Tommy Mottola's friends said to Mariah, "What do you think of Puff Daddy?" And she said, "Oh, I think he's really brilliant. I think he's great. I think he's fantastic." And then she said Tommy was fuming, was getting really jealous. And Tommy Mottola says, "Oh, Puff Daddy, he's nothing. In 2 years' time, he's going to be shining my shoes." And Mariah was just like, "Oh my God, that's disgusting. What an awful thing to say." And then Tommy flips out and says, "Okay, that's it. Thanksgiving is cancelled."
Okay.
At least Tommy Mottola, he can do this.
He can do it.
And she said that she just was getting cut off from her friends. She wasn't meeting people her own age. She was in this big mansion that she had paid 50% of, that there were security cameras everywhere. There was only two rooms where she knew she wasn't being watched or bugged, and that was the bathroom, and she had this little closet for her shoe collection, and that was the only place that she felt safe in.
I think with physical, it's so apparent that you kind of have to escape, right? Because, you know, for survival. But when it's the way this is, which is quite embedded into like the relationship, and it's kind of like it just breaks you down.
Yeah. And I think it's just the older guy who's sort of taken this ragamuffin off the street and turned her into a princess. It's like that's sort of like a romanticized version of control, isn't it? Because it's the same, like, I'm molding you.
He's super insecure. The way he's talked about Puff Daddy, and I'm not a huge fan of Puff Daddy, but like, he's super insecure to be like, he's nobody. Like, he probably didn't even know him that well. But I think part of it is his insecurity, because he just feels he's batting with Mariah, clearly. Mm-hmm. She's a really hot young talent. But also he's showing that he needs to feel relevant, and his way of asserting his relevance is by putting other people down that she likes.
Yeah. Do you think maybe he underestimated her? He thought that she would be this little doll, and she's not.
I think maybe not. Maybe this being too generous for Tommy, but they clearly had a shared passion for music, and maybe he thought that that would have been the clincher, because he was music. He probably thought, with his connections. But it's more that he just thought, there's no way she's going to leave me because I'm Sony type of thing.
I'm too powerful. Yeah. Mm.
So usually we wait for like the couple at the height of their like romance and excitement to ask this question, but it's kind of hard to pick.
Yeah, there was no moment of great romance and excitement
that
for
was
these
super
two.
High.
That's about it. Yeah,
but let's just say, you know, it's early 90s. You get a phone call, bring, bring, bring. Tommy and Mariah are in town. Do you want to head out for a night with the golden couple of 90s crossover R&B hip hop? What do you imagine a night with Mariah and Tommy looking like?
I can't sing, so I'm going to get nothing out of this. I'm not going to get a record deal for sure. Even though I'm sure he could help untalented people. Anyway, I digress. I would like to think that it's going to be some funky jazz music kind of show that we're gonna like all be enamored by, and they're gonna keep a safe distance.
What do you think?
I can imagine them stony silence between them for a lot of the time.
What the publicist is gonna come in, and she's gonna be like, "You shouldn't really be here because it's like the paps are out," or something like that. And Mariah's gonna be like, "Wait a minute, are there two people in this marriage or three people? I'm tired of all the organised crime. No, I'm tired of all the organisation, or organise the rules. And like, you know, everything has to always be in its place. I want things to be fluid and loose and fun and free and spontaneous at times. This was meant to be a fun night out. We even got Sadia here. And
Sadia's
we're
here.
Not having a good
we even
time
got Sadia,
all.
Guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Sadia's crying now.
Sadia's crying. She took a time machine for this.
Sadia is very sensitive. She's living vicariously through us, and now we've let her fucking down. I divorce you, Tommy Mottola. And then J-Lo turns up, and then that's when the whole I don't know her meme.
That's what
starts.
She just says immediately. I don't know you.
I don't even know her. And I'm like, I don't know her either.
Yeah. Even Sadia joins in. And actually, originally, Sadia is the one who says, I don't know her.
Yeah, who is that? And that-
so once again, J-Lo is stealing focus from Mariah Carey. So let's.
As always. As always. she's a triple threat. What do you want? Mariah, one thing you say about Mariah, the girl could not dance to save her life. She and Whitney were the same. They're not, these are not dancers. These
I don't
are
think
singers.
They need to dance. I can't they dance, don't need by to. The way. Just disclaimer.
There's no shame in it, but that's one thing that she could not do. And I think that's why she hated J-Lo. Anyways, different
do
podcast.
You
let's
think
go on.
That? Oh my God, that's shady. Chantal.
Yeah,
no.
I'm just saying it.
Who's
I would.
Are you on?
If I don't saw J-Lo dancing and I couldn't, I'd hate her as well. Anyways, back to Mariah.
Okay, so I think I'll do this in a montage because it's very like sleeping with the enemy. We've entered Mariah's sleeping or not sleeping with the enemy.
The whole thing has been sleeping like with the
it.
Enemy.
It is sleeping with the enemy. You know, all his things were lined up in the kitchen. Yeah.
Flat sharing with the enemy. That should have been Mariah Carey's memoir. So she keeps a packed bag under her bed in case she needs to escape. God.
What?
Apparently her makeup team felt really bad for her because she was, because of Tommy's influence, she never really had any sense of how well she was doing because she just was working all the time or in that house upstate with Tommy listening to Frank Sinatra records, hanging out with his friends. So she said that her makeup team put together this scrapbook full of messages from other celebrities saying, we love you, we think you're great, I love your songs, I love your music. And apparently in this scrapbook, there was a read
J-Lo along. J-Lo took out a full page. She was like, please,
and she was like,
I love you.
I thought this was celebrities, guys.
There was a long message.
Did you take out Puff Diddy's one? Puff Diddy's.
Okay,
Daddy's.
You're not going to see this coming. This is his first appearance on the pod.
Oh.
Included in the scrapbook was a really long message detailing how big of a fan he was from Joey Lawrence.
Oh,
I didn't see that coming for days. I
did not see
again.
That coming, but he took a break from filming Blossom and going, whoa, to write this message to Mariah Carey. Good for him.
So what did Tommy Mottola do with the scrapbook?
He burnt it.
Burnt it. Before Mariah could see it,
he burnt
it.
Childish. Just throw it away.
So basically,
she's not going through the
dumpster. That was that vibes from Tommy. It was like, none of these people, I'm the only one who matters. And like, complete insecurity.
So in their house together, there is motion sensitive cameras. And apparently she said that she would go down in the middle of the night to the kitchen to get a snack and to do a little bit of writing. Mind your own business. And then she'd hear a crackle over the intercom and Tommy's voice saying, what are you doing?
Oh, my God.
So eventually, have to move house.
She's getting so stressed, she's getting hives. So eventually, Tommy agrees to see a couples therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're
going to see a couples therapist, and it's Tommy's own therapist that he's been seeing for like 20 years. So you would think this is a bit of a conflict of interest.
Just a bit, yeah.
So she's like really skeptical about going to see Tommy's longtime therapist for relationship counselling. Do you want to know the twist? The therapist completely takes Mariah's side
Thank
on everything.
God. Oh my God. I was going to say, she's a Mariah fan, isn't she?
She's a lamb. She's a lamb.
So as part of Tommy sort of like trying to release his intense control over her, he allows her to start taking acting lessons. This is a big thing.
Okay.
She's allowed to take acting lessons. So she started seeing this acting teacher. And then she realized she could sneak into the building next to her acting teacher. So what she starts doing is renting a flat, a secret flat that Tommy doesn't know about, in the building next to her acting teacher. And she would go in for a lesson. And then there was like a secret passageway from her acting teacher's apartment into her apartment. And it was the only place she could go where Tommy wasn't surveilling her.
Okay,
what did she
I
start
see.
Doing there? Was she writing her next album or
just jerking off? Not 24/7. She's just finally getting laid proper. That's what I'm dreaming.
So another part of the agreement of him sort of loosening control over Mariah is that he's going to allow her to go to a party without him.
Oh, wow.
So she
Merry Christmas.
So she can't spend the whole evening without him, but a part of an evening without him.
Okay.
So they go to a red carpet event, smile, pose, they go to dinner, and then she's allowed go to a party without him afterwards.
Okay, yeah. Where are we? But what time are we now? I've sort of lost track of where we are.
Okay, so we are in...
How far into the marriage are we?
We are
I don't know,
in
albums,
mid-90s. We're mid-90s.
So music box is out. That's 95.
So they go to a party and he has to go with her, but then she's allowed to go to an after party without him because he's tired. He's a cancer. He likes to sleep.
He's going to go for a nap, eat some food, and she can go to a party without him. So she goes to the party without him for the very first time. She's chatting to people her own age. She's relaxing, having a brilliant time.
And she's... And then, massively famous now as well. 95 is like Mariah's fucking huge now.
She's huge, super famous. And then she meets...
Without you.
Yeah.
Height. Then she, at the party, is baseball player Derek Jeter.
Oh, not Derek Jeter. No, Mariah, no!
What happened?
Not
why?
Derek Jeter.
Who is Derek Jeter?
He's just a baseball guy who just dates lots of people. He's just kind of boring. Just no, don't go from this guy to Derek Jeter.
So she
can do better.
So she is like, oh yeah, he's cute, whatever, blah blah blah. And then the conversation turns towards the difficulty of having a biracial identity, and she's just like, oh my god, Tommy. Basically, not only have I got nobody young to talk to, but Tommy's so weird about Mariah's identity that she's like, he refuses to even bring it up. He makes her have a curly fringe to try and look Italian.
Still doesn't make any sense. Go on.
At that moment, Derek pipes up, oh yes, my mother is Irish and my dad is black. And Mariah goes, oh my god, me too.
Samesies, twinsies. Yeah.
And she said that moment was like in The Wizard of Oz where everything goes from sepia to technicolor. She was like, I'm in love. So then she becomes obsessed with trying to escape her handlers, basically, so she can go on a proper date one-on-one with Derek Jeter.
Okay.
Oh my
it's
God.
It's happening. She's got the apartment.
So what happens is... her PA helps her. So her driver, everybody, even though she pays all their bills, they all work for Tommy. So her and her personal assistant, they go to a pizza restaurant where she's organized that Derek Jeter is going to be there. Then her personal assistant goes out, distracts the driver, and her Derek Jeter then skedaddle out of the pizza restaurant and go to Derek's apartment.
Oh, Derek's place. Nice. Okay.
Oh, my God.
For that brief moment they have together, they get intimate,
of course,
on the roof of Derek Jeter's flat.
If you're at a baseball player's apartment, use it. Yeah.
Thank good God.
So... then, inspired by this, she starts writing much sexier songs. And it was
Here
these sexy songs up on the roof that Tommy Mottola twigs, uh-oh, Mariah's getting something. She's definitely cheating on me.
That's right.
So that's what basically was like, finally, he would let her go and they could split up.
I never knew that.
So it's quite amicable.
You told that really well. So I just want to give you well done. That was very delicately, and also I was on the edge of my seat.
Okay. Well, you said so. It was quite amicable. Tommy Mottola says in his memoir that their relationship was unhealthy, calling it absolutely wrong and inappropriate.
He said this.
The publicist wrote this.
So he said, if it seemed like I was controlling, I apologize. Was I obsessive? Yes. But that was also part of the reason for her success.
That is the worst apology. If I was controlling, you know you was, Tommy. You know you was.
If it seemed I was. If it seemed I was.
That's like me saying, hey, I'm sorry if it seems like I'm late.
That's just the clocks. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do anything about that.
What do you follow time?
I have to control time now for
I'm
you to make you happy. I'm sorry, I can't control
zones
time.
Are different, even though we're in the same time zone.
So, 1997, they split. It's done so. And Sadia, how do I even pitch this question? Why do you think it didn't work out?
What about these two couldn't make it work?
What went wrong? They had so much in common.
I think that she was under a lot of pressure, as a lot of young women are, as long as young people are, in terms of like an industry where you feel like you could be replaced any second. She had a very unstable upbringing and craved stability, and prioritized that, or was made to prioritize that over the things that she didn't know that she could enjoy, such as friendship, such as romance, such as enjoying her femininity and sexuality. So she had to make compromises really young. And then as she grew into this independent, beautiful woman that she became, even more than she was, it just became a very difficult, untenable situation, because I don't know, I think there was definitely feelings there. I'm not sure if all of, they were consistently love, but there was, you know, there would have been that camaraderie in terms of his mentoring of her potentially, mm-hmm. or just the closeness, their proximity in kind of the situation, really. So I think it didn't work because there weren't boundaries. That sounds really boring and basic, but there weren't any boundaries. And she was tired of being told where she could look, what she could do. And she wasn't really able to be who she was, or who she wasn't. It wasn't healthy or balanced.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. I think it's, yeah, she just, you know, it's that whole thing about hustle, do what you got to do, And maybe she just thought, okay, yeah, I can handle this, and this is the price I have to pay. And ultimately, the price was just too high, wasn't it?
And everybody, people telling her, oh God, you're so lucky, like, I would die to be in your position. Yeah. And so it makes you think, hey, I'd be crazy to, like, not go along with this. But you're also crazy to kind of, like, continue. People don't know what's going on behind the scenes, right? And so, you know, same way he promised that she would be, you know, the heights of Michael Jackson, also is a really difficult industry where you're as good as your last album type of thing. And it would be like, well, I'm the one who gave you all the heat and I can take it away.
Yeah. Well, so speaking of what happened next. So very briefly, he, after the divorce, just goes out to ruin Mariah Carey's career. And he does that. Enter Jennifer Lopez. So he started managing Jennifer Lopez and basically started modeling her, promoting her as the next Mariah Carey. And
which was, what was he thinking doing that? Like, there's just no, there's completely different artists. It was just that, I never know. Anyways, go on.
So apparently loads of the samples that appeared in J-Lo songs, Mariah had already had them in her songs, and she had to, like, scrap loads of songs because she'd, like, record a track and then 2 weeks later she'd hear that sample on the radio in a Jennifer Lopez single. So he really was.
But she didn't really do anything. J-Lo had no career until, like, later on, right?
Well, it was all, like, you know, Jenny from the Block, that whole
From 99, 2000, J-Lo was massive.
Yeah.
But so
this is 97.
So
yeah. Well, you can't, there's only one Mariah. Then he marries Thalia, queen of Latin pop. They are still married. They have two children. Mariah famously goes on to marry Nick Cannon. And
we need to cover that couple.
We
need a Nick Cannon special episode. Yeah.
If just each of Nick Cannon's children listens to that episode, it would be our most
listened to. Will be the biggest podcast in the world.
Then she gets engaged to Australian billionaire James Packer.
Oh, I remember
and
that.
Iconically, when he breaks up with her, she sues him for wasting time.
Yep.
And now, I didn't know they were still together, but according to the internet, is still dating dancer Brian Tanaka.
Mm. Is she? Good for you, Mariah.
Facially, they look really, like, familiar. Like, their facial features look similar. So I can get the attraction. Mm. But, he has a lot to gain in that situation. So.
He does.
As does any man. Let's not kid ourselves. It's Mariah Carey. Everybody's batting above their weight if they're in the same room as Mariah Carey. I have a suspicion I know where you're going to go with this, but...
Same.
We come to... what this whole podcast is built around, in every split, there is a winner, there's a loser. There's one you're happy about, there's one you're worried for. In the great split between Tommy Mottola and Mariah Carey, Sadia, who thrived, who simply survived?
So Mariah Carey thrived and Tommy Mottola just about survived.
Yeah,
just about.
True.
His career is in tatters. Not in tatters, it's not his career, his reputation, though. Like, no one's a fan of Tommy Mottola. You know what I mean? It didn't really work. And also, was there, in your research, was there any other, like, aside from J-Lo and Mariah Carey, did his career kind of go to any great places beyond that? Or did that, he kind of peter out, as far as you're aware?
I think it just kind of, I mean, look, I am very much, was Mariah Carey focused in this research? So maybe.
And so it, you should be, yeah.
But it just feels like he was a very 80s A&R man.
Yeah,
you know, he needed Mariah to know who Puff Daddy was. So
sure. Yeah. I can't imagine he was exactly on the ball beyond that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's pretty unanimous. Queen.
I can't imagine. Okay, if anyone at listening thinks that Tommy Mottola is the one who thrived, and Mariah, please, I will talk to you for 3 days about this. I'm so interested to hear your opinions. Dying to, actually. So any Tommy Mottola super fans, please get in touch. I'm aching to find out what your reasons are. Because, yeah, I think it's probably pretty universal that Mariah Carey is a thriver.
We've got one final question before we let you go.
We do, Sadia. Get your thinking cap on, Sadia.
Okay.
There's a lady out there that we're trying to find a great love for. She's currently in a relationship that we do or do not think will last. It's irrelevant to us. We don't think he's the great love of her life. So can you put your thinking cap on and think of someone up to the standards of being with the one, the only Cher?
This is such a good question. Because I don't know a lot of these people, right? But, like, aren't there people, like, in that league, like Barry Manilow or something like that, like, or Bruce Springsteen, or I don't know, but isn't,
I mean,
that
Springsteen
the caliber
you could do?
About?
I think Barry Manilow's not. Didn't Barry Manilow kick the bucket not too long ago?
What does that mean? Oh, he died?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I mean, I forget sometimes.
We prefer them to be alive. I mean,
I forget.
Cher can do a lot of things.
What
she could
that?
Resurrect
Phil,
someone.
Phil Collins?
Not Phil Collins.
Phil Collins.
He ain't dead yet.
He's just naming old white people.
But
that you can
no,
think of.
They're not old white people. They're singers, aren't they? I mean, you know,
so you think... Okay, so you're going to have to pick one.
I'll be honest with you, I'm going to love any of these answers. So, if on our list of them we have Barry Manilow, Bruce Springsteen, or Phil Collins. These are my new favourites.
Can we Google, is Bruce Springsteen single? Because he's top runner right now.
I mean, yeah, I would go with Bruce. He's arguably the hottest. I would personally find Phil Collins my favourite answer, but that's more for comedy reasons.
Work.
So
yeah, sorry, I just little and large, right? But sometimes
I think it could work. He's got a bit of a Bob Hoskins vibe. And that
he
worked
totally
in Mermaids. And that worked in Mermaids. So I'm just saying it could be. In my heart of hearts, I want you to say Phil Collins. But
Phil
in terms
Collins.
Of who's hotter,
Phil right. Collins.
I mean, you guys.
Me and Grant can just wait for you to choose Phil Collins.
Into this Bob Hoskins vibe. So we'll go with Phil Collins.
Yes, yes, Phil. I'm so happy for him.
Cher would be like, come on, Phil. Lily's coming around tonight. Snap
she
out
does
of
have
it.
An, she does have an invisible touch that shares. So I'd love it. They'd make beautiful music together. Him on the drums. He's so little.
A one,
I just
a two,
it.
A one, two, three.
Wasn't Sunny a drummer? So she knows about drummers.
Yeah.
She'd be like into it. Great answer, Sadia.
Yeah, it's great.
That we forced
I
you to
think
say.
You're being very nice to me, Chantel, but I'll take it.
But speaking of icons, you're a little icon. You've got a book coming out.
That is yes. Too generous, Grainne. Thank you. My book is called Sex Bomb. And it's my memoir. So similarly to Mariah, it's the only thing we have in common,
oh,
I suppose.
My God. So
but it's
far.
A memoir and it's out on the 25th of May in paperback. I would adore anybody who pre-orders it or buys it. I will find you and sign it for you if you want me to. Or
we're
going
to hold you
gift.
To that, Sadia.
I would love you to buy it, please.
And what Sex Bomb, what is it about? Tell us, what is it about?
Well, I'm a Muslim and, you know, terrorism gets thrown around here and there. And I think sometimes sex is the bomb, you know, not just terrorism. I think we don't talk about it enough. And I'm tired of the narratives that I hear about Muslim women supposedly being oppressed or repressed or whatever they call us. So I wanted to have a conversation that it doesn't happen often, about my life, about trying to find love like poor old Moriah, basically generally my journey so far.
Amazing. A little
sounds
sex,
wonderful.
A little sex bomb talking about another little sex bomb. What a perfect podcast.
Completely. I love it. Congratulations, her. That sounds like such an amazing accomplishment. Well done. It sounds great. God.
Thank you so much. And it's out there. I want to write again.
Well, if you want to be on the show again, you got to write a second one. So you better start. You better start living some lives. Go on some staircases with your one pair of shoes and see what happens.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well done.
Thank
that was
you
amazing,
so much,
guys. You were
thank
great.
You,
thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. The Way They Were is an Amanda Redman production, produced by Abby Weaver and Amanda Redman.
We want to hear your celebrity couple crush, so email us on thewaytheywerepod@gmail.com.
Or find us on Twitter at thewaytheywerepod and we're on Instagram at thewaytheywerepodcast.
Thanks to you for listening. Until the next time, goodbye.
Goodbye. The Way They Were.
Chantelle, one question. Do you want to eat stress-free this spring?
Grania, you read my mind. I got a lot of stress going on. I'm waiting for Megan Fox to finally officially announce she's single. What do you got?
I'm very glad you said that because with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals, every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and is ready to eat in 2 minutes.
Thing is, I like a lot of variety in my life. You know, variety is the spice of life. So I will take nothing less than 35 options per week, which I've heard these guys have. And tell me if I'm wrong, but that includes calories smart, keto, protein plus, vegan, veggie.
That's just the start of it because all those options are available at Factor. Plus, you can discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
I'm saying it, guys. If you're listening to this, then Factor is your solution for some fast, premium meals with none of the cooking, none of the cleanup, none of the mess.
So, Chantelle, second question, what are you waiting for?
I have no idea. Tell me.
Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals and head to factormeals.com and use the code TWTW50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code TWTW50 at factormeals.com/TWTW50 to get 50% off your first box and then another 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Get going, guys!